Hello and welcome. I'm Alec Hogg. Well, you've seen the headlines on biznews.com, watched and listened to the interviews on BizNews TV and BizNews Radio. So now let's talk about what the latest developments means for your money. This is the Editor's Desk, exclusive analysis for BizNews Premium members. It's Thursday, the 8th of January, 2026. Glad to have you with me. Well, I had one of those just terrific interviews this morning. David Shapiro and I go back a long, long way. In fact, the very first night that I introduced business radio to South Africa, there's a whole story in that as well. David was the man who came on air. It was in April 1997, and we were in the dungeons of the SABC Radio Center. Those dungeons were clearly created for a time, perhaps, when the apartheid government thought that they might be invaded and then they'd be able to talk to the nations from deep underneath the ground. I suppose they also helped because in those days, the recording equipment wasn't as sophisticated as it is now. And you had what were called condenser mics, and these microphones picked up everything. So to do broadcasting, you needed to have absolute soundproofing. And the dungeons under the ground in the radio center were exactly the right idea. David came through. We produced that program. And my goodness, it continued. It went from strength to strength. It was 20 minutes after a show called Well Versed, where, a man of the cloth would ramble on for 10 minutes or so, by which time most listeners to SAFM had disappeared, but there were a few who hung around and we gave them some business news and it grew and grew and grew. Well, and today I think there well, almost half a dozen business shows also being produced at the time that we made our own from 6 to 7, and David Shapiro had a big part in that. He is such a wise man and so informed, so well informed. And today we had an hour. It was a fascinating hour, and we spoke about an article that he felt moved to write about. It was the result of an interview that we had in November, where I said to David, where are the Brian Joffeys and the Raymond Ackermans and the Sol Kerzners and the Bill Lynches of today? And he said it had been bugging him, and he thought a lot about that. And over the holidays, some more. And he actually wrote a piece for us, which we published yesterday. Really good piece. And then this morning, we had a terrific chat about that subject. And we're going to be repackaging and using little parts of it over the next week. So watch out for that. But I would strongly recommend that you keep an eye out for that interview, the full hour's interview, because I think you're going to find it quite moving. Thank you, David, as always, and look forward to seeing more of you on BizNews in 2026. It's been, I suppose we worked together so closely for so long that, when I left Moneyweb, it wouldn't really have been appropriate to continue to speak to David every day. I didn't want to impose on him with this fledgling little business that we started, but BizNews is a big operation now, and I'm sure Dave actually offered. I said to him, come on, David, start writing for us for money, please, man. He said, not a chance. I will never charge you. It would always be a privilege. That's the guy. He's a man, this chap. Known him for a long time, and I tell you what, he's always been consistent. He's never, ever kowtowed to vested interests, and a man of his own mind and extreme independence, one of those that so many of us can look up to as a role model. That's on the site today, but so is someone else who's a role model a shared role model, I guess. Although he isn't mentioned in the article, there is very much the spirit of Pravin Gordhan in the piece that Paul Hoffman has written about Andy Mutebi. Andy Mortimer is the new director of public prosecutions. He's succeeding the unlamented departed Shamila Batoi, who we had such high hopes for 7 years ago and who really underwhelmed us. Batoi was keen to get someone called Andrea Johnson to take over from her. That was the, she had the inside track, and then we had the Matlanga Commission, and I don't think she covered herself in glory at all. So now of the 32 applicants for the post, and the six finalists, who included a guy who the Constitutional Court said was unfit for the job, Menzi Simelane. Cyril Ramaphosa went right outside of that whole grouping and he plucked Andy Mortimer. And boy, am I amongst those who were delighted by this. Didn't say much yesterday, but having reflected on it, Andy studied at the feet of Pravin Gordhan. And of all the people in politics that I've met in the time since South Africa became a democracy, and I won't say I knew Pravin Gordhan well, because I think he had a very tight and close group around him, but I certainly engaged and interacted with him on enough levels at enough times and followed his actions closely enough to know that this was a national treasure, the likes of which we just don't have. Helen Ziller probably comes closest. But outside of Helen, Pravin Gordhan was just an extraordinary man. I remember, I suppose I can say it now because he's passed, having lunch with him at SARS when he was gunning for Dave King. Dave King, the tax fraud, what Dave King had done was it was in the time before you had to report your share sales as a director. And he brought a company called Specialized Outsourcing onto the JSE, introduced quarterly reporting for it, gave these hyped up figures, and the share price went from around 50 cents to around 50 rand. And it was one of those almost like a multi-level marketing schemes where the unit trusts that didn't have Specialized Outsourcing in their portfolios were lagging, and those that did were outperforming. So as a consequence, Dave King would be fielding calls all the time from unit trust managers who asked him, does he know anybody who's selling stock in this incredible company, which I don't know if it went bust, but it certainly disappeared eventually. So it's very much it's a heck of a story on its own. But let's just put that one side. And at the what Dave King did was he then said to those unit trust managers, no, I don't have any shares to sell you, but I do know somebody who does. And that was his own trust called the Ben Nevis Trust, where his own shares were in. Remember, he'd founded the company. And he was selling his own shares to unit trust managers, but telling them it was somebody else from the Ben Nevis Trust, which was his own. And anyway, he made, back in those days, you're talking 30 years ago, he made over R1 billion in offloading these equities at the peak of the market and the peak of their prices. And then compounded the error by saying to SARS that this was a capital gain, not an income. And SARS took him on, and they went to court, and it was a long court battle, which Dave King eventually settled for a payout. He paid something like over 700 million rand. But it was during all of this, while all of this was going on, that Pravin Gordhan invited me to have lunch with him and his team in at SARS in Pretoria. And we spent the whole morning together, and it was just fascinating. Dave King was the reason why, and I couldn't really help him that much because everything that we'd produced was in the public domain. I was then brought into a at the time, I think I was brought into a, some court case that somebody else had, and then they used interviews that I'd had with King and stuff that I'd written about and used that on the record, and I'd signed that, and I presume that SARS had got hold of this and then wanted to know more about it. In fact, the real hero of the Dave King story was Mr. Chips, the much-forgotten Mr. Chips, who was a SARS investigator, a bit of a Columbo-type character, who was at the Rissik Street office of SARS. And he picked up the story from Money Webb, as I was very small at the time, in the early days. And he then built up a case and then clearly told his bosses, and his bosses went to war. And, well, 700 whatever million rand later, it was all settled. Anyway, but that time that I spent with Pravin Gordhan there and his team, it brought home something to me that helped me a lot in the coverage thereafter of the state capture period. And that was that this was a guy who's driven by a higher purpose. Now, people in the private sector don't always get this. People in the private sector look at the public sector and they say, oh, no, these chaps are just lazy and they just want long holidays and they want job security, and they've even now they pushing up their salaries, so it's a better place to be. And they aren't, in other words, they're not like us. They're not hardworking like us. And people in the public sector say, people in the private sector are just there to make the most amount of money as they can in the shortest possible time, and they're not really there to make a service. If they can just screw everybody, they would. And it's very sad that you have those too. Having worked in the public sector for a period of time at the SABC, and obviously most of the time in the private sector, I know that there is great misunderstanding, and I have a huge regard for many, many people in the public sector, and indeed with Pravin Gordhan and the guys at SARS, Edward Kiswetta and his team. They're incredible, these people. They could earn a heck of a lot more in the elsewhere in the private sector, and yet they serve the country and they serve the public and they serve the social good, as Pravin always did. And the way he motivated his team was through serving a higher purpose. And I never saw him deviate from that. When he took over, you might recall, we had Nenegate, and Zuma was trying to put his Gupta guys into the treasury. And, there was a big revolt by the business sector. The Rand fell out of bed, share prices tumbled. And eventually, even Zuma realized, this is a bit too far. And he asked Pravin Gordhan, who he did not like, to come in and rescue the situation as finance minister, and Pravin did, and he did just a splendid job. Anyway, I remember seeing the last time I saw him, this was a few years later, and he really looked tired, he looked grey, and you could see that he wasn't well, but he was still hanging in there, he was fighting the good fight, he was fighting for a higher purpose, and boy did we lose a hero when Pravin Gordhan left. Andy Motsebe, the new National Director of Public Prosecutions, is someone who learned from, who aligns with, and is very much in the Pravin Gordhan mold. And boy, does that make me excited. Our criminal justice system, we know in South Africa, has been captured by criminal elements. We know that. There's a Madlanga Commission, there's people that we'd never heard of before, Brown Mokgotse and guys like that, who have been exposed. Kat Motlala, these are national names, certainly not national heroes. And we now know how much the criminals are paying off the cops and even judges. So there's a big job to be done, and who's going to do that job? National Prosecuting Authority. And the National Director of Public Prosecutions has got to be somebody who actually is serving society in a Pravin Gordhan type of way. And here we have him, Andy Motsebe. I'm very excited about him. And so, I'm reading as much as I can about the man now. Paul Hoffman has written a piece. He wrote it for Daily Friend, and that is on BizNews. Go and read it. And the last thing I'll mention today is another pal of mine. I haven't spoken to him publicly or on air for a while, but he will be at the BizNews conference in March in an unusual spot of being a after dinner speaker or after dinner engager. He'll be a fireside chat, and that's Rob Herzog. Rob Herzog just loves these weight loss drugs. The FT piece that we're running today comes from universities in the UK, including Cambridge, and there was someone from Oxford who've done a research over 2 years on, could be longer than 2 years, 9,000 people who were on Ozempic, Wegovy, and Mounjaro. And the conclusion is very scary for people who are on those drugs. Once you stop, in 2 years, you'll be back to your previous weight. And the chances are, could get worse from there. So, I don't know. It's a lovely idea to have this quick fix. And it has grabbed the world by storm, these weight loss drugs, which were accidentally recognized because they started off as drugs for diabetics. But they aren't the miracle cure that many had thought, because when you stop taking them, well, you regain the weight again. I suppose there is no free lunch in life. I don't know. A bit of a terrible blooming pun on that one. Forgive me. Interesting stuff, isn't it? Love chatting to you in the editor's desk, and thanks for indulging me as always. Going to leave it there for today. Keep an eye on your premium newsletter for links to our freshest published content. Please remember to pick up my early morning efforts. It's called BizNews Daybreak. It's available. Get it on the WhatsApp channels, or indeed in the Daily Cider newsletter, which we're now sending out around 6:30 in the morning. And it'll give you something very interesting to pick up on your way to work. Covers what's happened overnight in the US and picks up on the latest of our own markets. Thank you again for trusting us with your time. I'm Alec Hogg. Until tomorrow, cheerio.